We in New Zealand can take a lot of pride in the work of the research project, which is sponsored by the Law Foundation. I think the partnership's been very useful. It's led to the publication, for example, of 3 volumes of Genes, Society and the Future. And I think publications like this contribute to wider discussion and increase the reputation of New Zealand and Australia internationally. In fact, I was struck while preparing my remarks for this afternoon at the huge volume of material which is available on the subject and ways in which researchers are connecting with each other. The project's website is very good. I found something from Duke University in North Carolina, which runs a comprehensive genomics website. I even found a Twitter page that provides daily links for news stories and new research about genomics. I don't need to stand here today and say that it throws up all kinds of different and interesting legal issues. That would be a statement of the obvious. And of course, they are the main themes of discussion that you're having to look at today. New Zealand laws started putting in place regulatory regimes, and obviously you know about the Human Assisted Reproductive Technology Act, and that this has caused a great deal of debate. It's not that the legal concepts involved are necessarily new, but that the priority to be given to competing concepts and values is yet to be established, let alone tested in courts or other arenas. I see Catherine Sharp here. Obviously, she'll be interested in the protection of the privacy of people getting genetic tests. I've read that in the United States, many people are paying for their own tests to avoid divulging that information to their insurance companies and doctors. The fear for the patient is that it may prevent him or her from getting coverage in the future. On the other hand, how do we ensure that scientists have enough data and that large amounts of material are available for the public good? Ethical and legal dilemmas also arise in other areas of privacy and property rights, and I've had to give these some attention recently. One of my roles as Attorney General is to flag any legislation I believe may potentially breach the New Zealand Bill of Rights Act 1990. In this role, under Section 7 of the Act, earlier this year, I issued a report on the Criminal Investigations Bodily Samples Amendment Bill 2009, known in the media as the DNA Database Bill. I think that's... I think my report raised a number of interesting points that were debated in the Parliament. Now, I wouldn't want to claim to be anything other than an interested observer in this area, but one area that I am particularly interested in and have been for many years are the issues that arise in relation to intellectual property. And what I'm finding in this area is that in so many areas, technology moves at a speed that makes it difficult for the law to keep up. In the copyright area, for example, the proliferation of technologies like peer-to-peer networks and torrents and the rapid speed of electronic innovation make the IP issues that arise very hard for government to address. And indeed, there is literature out there that says there's a major debate that has to be had about whether, in fact, copyright will continue to exist. Obviously, in my private life, I've always acted for copyright owners, so I have a particular view on it, but it's a very interesting and difficult question. So there are strong parallels between the area that you're experts in and IP. One commentator has said the concept of open source genetic information is a reality that will tax the legal framework just as much as internet freedom challenges legal tenets, and that's, as I said, that's one of the issues that we looked at in London in relation to contempt and child pornography, and it's the same sort of challenges that you're facing. Can the law actually cope? A number of other questions arise. What types of IP rights to genetics and related subject matter are being or should be sought, obtained and refused? What are or should be mechanisms for exploiting IP rights to genetics and genomics-related subject matter? What are the categories of genetic subject matter for which IP rights are licensed or may be licensed in the future? patenting genetic discoveries has proven very controversial over the past years. There are now patents associated with around a quarter of the genes in the human genome. Patents are extremely valuable for those developing products based on genetic discoveries. As the US National Human Genome Research Institute has outlined, central to the debate over patenting genetic discoveries is the question of what criteria should determine whether in fact a discovery is or is not able to be patented. Alternatively, if genetic discoveries are patentable, how should a legitimate discovery be defined? Should the isolation and purification of genes from their natural state be a sufficient basis for a patent, or should the applicant be required to demonstrate a use for the discovery? You'll see that I've moved interchangeably between patent and patent because no one knows what is the correct pronunciation. In fact, as I understand it, there were three barristers who were called to the dinner bar in Auckland many years ago. One stood up and said, one stood up and said, I have a patent in my hand appointing me as a member of the dinner bar. The other one stood up and said, I have a patent. And the third one then stood up and said, I have one of those as well. So the patenting and licensing of human genetic material and proteins extend IP rights to naturally occurring biological material and scientific information, much of it well upstream of drugs and other disease therapies. Defensive IP policies and aggressive patent protection sought by universities, companies and individuals for new biotechnologies made 2006 the year with the most patents ever filed, apparently, at the US Patent and Trademark Office for DNA-related inventions. I haven't seen the figures for 2007 to 2009, but I can imagine those numbers have only increased. The questions are global ones. The WHO is identified as one of the two main concerns that fuel the genomics debate, a general worry surrounding the appropriateness of IP regimes for developing countries, juxtaposed by an impetus toward increased global harmonisation of patent policy. So that are just some of the issues that confront us in one particular area of the law. The government's very interested in and relies on your work in these areas, and I hope today's discussions will lead to another roundtable next year. And I wish you all the best for this afternoon's discussions on parameters and safeguards for using genomic knowledge. It certainly sounds more interesting than parliamentary question time. That farce of a performance to which I have been running up. Although I would say in relation to that, we were just so adversarial in this country. If you look at question time, and, as I did in the House of Lords the other day, they do it with such style, but nonetheless, just far more devastating, really. But there we are. Australian House of Representatives would be a pretty grotty performance.